Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
Irma Puppet. All right, that's enough bones in the fire. Come here to Mommy and listen. Listen, Mr. Darling has gone away to Bedburg for, reasons. So, please answer the door and let the guests in for Mommy, okay?
Maybe.
Irma.
Where's my granny?
She's working, baby. Well, she's volunteering.
I want my granny.
Irma, I'll get Grandma to come back tonight, if you will let the guests in. No, Irma. Don't follow Irma down there. Right here. Stop right here. Thank you, Irma. Good evening, my lovely guests. What an enchanting night it is. Yes. Yes, I have heard the rumors. I would prefer to address this once everyone is inside the reading room, Miss Michelle. Yes. I know it's frightening. Aww. Excuse me. I'll be happy to make a statement once we're all inside. Now please, everyone, make your way into the reading room. Ah, now, here we are. Irma, take a blanket over to, Mrs. Evans. She looks like death warmed over. Oh. She hasn't slept. None of you have slept or rested much because of the supposed happening. Oh, my. All right, then. Oh, dear. Before I address the elephant in the room, as you settle in, please come forward and take some sustenance from the hospitality tray. Yes. I've asked Natasha to serve a special blend of lifeboat tea to lift your energy a bit. And in honor of our eventual topic of the Great Moon Hoax, she's cleverly sent up green cheese and some kind of crackers? The green cheese, you will want to know, is from a little dairy farm that we acquired in the annex a while back. Well, not exactly from the farm, but the few dairy cows that they had were then bred with several bulls. Well, bullish creatures, not creatures, animals. Bull animals that we have roaming Phantom Forest. and it is their offspring that produced the green milk that makes this luscious green cheese. Isn't that lovely? Of course it is. All right. First, yes, we are aware of the current upset in the village. Lydia kindly tore down one of the silly warning flyers and delivered it here to the library. It disappeared before I could see it, though. Irma, be an angel and go find the ludicrous flyer while I reassure our guests. Go on, run along. Well, I am terribly sorry so many of you have been affected or influenced by the absurd rampant rumor. For the few of you who may not have heard, apparently there's a hag. More accurately, a horrifying hag. She intrudes into the peaceful dreams of many of the townspeople, attacking them in brutal and beastly ways. Just when they enter a restful dream state, perhaps as they begin to snuggle a sweet baby or beloved pet, or as they lean in to gently kiss a loved one or press their lips to their lover. The hag instantly zaps into the loved one's place. With steaming foul breath and a rotted black tongue, she bashes her putrid face into the dreamer's puckered lips, chipping their teeth and splattering their face with rancid blood and the festering pus of her flying spit. They cannot awake and are paralyzed and trapped in the real as this moment dream with the wretched hag. She grabs and forces her victim to hold her and dance with her as she grinds her slimy, stinking, decomposing body against them. Then she smashes them down on all fours with her powerful, cracking, bony fists and parks her oozing, decaying carcass on their backs, using her long, matted, moldy hair as a bridle and bit forced into their bloody mouths, as she rides you, them, into eternity. Oh, hi, baby. The flyer. The flyer, yes. Thank you, Sugar Booger. Thank you. Now, I'll read you the slanderous rumor they're spreading. it just says, beware of the dream hag in purple magic marker. Look at the time. Oh my goodness. Let's get to the moon, shall we? On a warm summer morning in 1835, the first edition of the New York Sun's newspaper began arriving for sale around New York City and the surrounding areas. The somewhat new newspaper was sold by shopkeepers, sold by young street vendors, and delivered to some private residences. This was how the news was dispensed to the public, and everyone read the newspaper to keep informed. Please keep in mind that the early 1800s were a time of constant breakthroughs in science, medicine, and new historical findings. It wasn't uncommon to open the paper and read about the fantastic discoveries of germ theory, heart surgery, and the wonder drug aspirin, or electricity, the telephone, or the finding of King Ramses II's tomb and the Rosetta Stone. Along with these thrilling stories, there were exciting new astronomical discoveries. With much more capable telescopes finding minor planets and even the invention of spectroscopy, revealing what distant stars were made of. So, on this unremarkable summer morning, no one was terrifically surprised to read this brief teaser notice on the second page of The Sun.
We have just learnt of an eminent publisher in this city, Edinburgh, that Sir John Herschel, at the Cape of Good Hope, has made some astronomical discoveries of the most wonderful description by means of an immense telescope of an entirely new principle.
The short blurb was meant to capture the reader's attention and to bait them into buying the next issue of the Sun newspaper, as this type of journalism and publication had many competitors at this time. Let me tell you, dear guests, that in amongst the coyly worded setup were some true or factual things. There was an astronomer, Sir John Herschel, with advanced telescopic equipment visiting the African continent. He was the son of the famous William Herschel, who discovered our seventh planet, Uranus. Then John Herschel, like his father, made several astronomical discoveries of his own, finding several stars and galaxies. He was the president of the United Kingdom's Royal Astronomical Society. But a great deal of his notoriety came from his perfecting of the process of photography. For goodness sakes, he was even the originator of the word photography. From photo, meaning light, and graph, or graphy, meaning to write. On Tuesday, August 25th, the Sun's newspaper's first official installment from the teaser read,
"We this morning commence the publication of a series of extracts from the new supplement to the Edinburgh Journal of Science, which has been very politely furnished to us by a medical gentleman immediately from Scotland, in consequence of a paragraph which appeared on Friday last from the Edinburgh Current. The portion which we publish today is introductory to the celestial discoveries of higher and more universal interest than any in any science yet known to the human race."
This was the editor's way of being forthright, informing the readers that the forthcoming information had come from a reputable source, the esteemed Edinburgh Journal of Science. And some of this was true. But what followed next was truly astounding. And the New York readers believed it. Every word of it. On Wednesday, August 26th, the writer of the article, a Dr. Andrew Grant, described in detail how John Herschel had traveled to the Cape of Good Hope to set up his new observatory with its spectacular, highly precision new telescope. He proceeded to describe to the hungry-eyed readers how, initially, when Herschel trained his impressive new scope on the moon, he saw only typical gray basalt rock formations. But when calibrating the mechanism more precisely, his wandering eyes beheld a burst of maroon color and found the rock face to be profusely covered with a dark red flower. This enchanting statement set the stage for the reader by declaring that life had been discovered on the moon. The newspaper's sales, to coin the appropriate phrase, skyrocketed. The long, meandering edition of the article, with much and many stately regards and mentions of published papers from lofty origins and lots of formalized gobbledygook, finally evolved into proclaiming the witnessing of animal life upon the moon, with winged flying creatures, herds of large mammals that resembled goats but were in fact blue in color, and even a huge, lumbering, grotesque version of a unicorn was spotted in the lunar terrain. Well, the readers were thrilled, and so were the business owners of the New York Sun newspaper. Speaking of business, tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is reluctantly brought to you by our very own newspaper, The Village Voice. In the interest of transparency, they've paid the Midnight Library the illustrious sum of $8 for me to read to you this statement, which I offered to proofread for them in advance for free, to which they replied, "Nah." Here is the publication's statement. The Village Voice. Here they attempted to spell established three times, then crossed it out and wrote founded. The Village Voice, founded in 1777, should be your only source of information. Our journalists were born, raised, and edumacated here in the village. They know our, I'm sure they meant our, but they've spelled it A-R-E. They know our town and its people the best. We don't need no outsiders or weirdos telling us nothing. Especially them ones in the Midnight Library. Oh my word. Oh, do you know, my dear guests, I do believe I'm going to get out my best red fountain pen, correct the atrocious spelling, grammar, punctuation, and syntax in this disaster of a message, and tuck it, along with a personal check for $10, into a store-bought dictionary that I shall wrap neatly up in a copy of their buffoonish newspaper that's been peed on by the wolf pups, and send it back to them with a note telling them that they must do better. Like some sort of wicked peeved schoolmistress.
Well, not too wicked. Please forgive this sad yet hilarious interruption to our reading. Now, where were we? Ah, yes, the moon. The now lively moon. The next segment and several following articles from the now famous newspaper claimed still more extraordinary beings and happenings taking place on our only significant satellite, the moon. It was at this time that other newspapers, wanting to also cash in on the penny-pounding earning potential of this sensational string of stories, well, they began publishing the tale without fact-checking it or its sources, in their own newspapers, contributing to the spreading of the story. The New York Sun and Dr. Andrew Grant now claimed that with his one-of-a-kind immense telescope of an entirely new principle that no other human apparently had access to, that Mr. Herschel, or Sir Herschel, had carefully documented his further observations of lush gardens, of exotic flowering vegetation. The article stated that the lunar skies were also dotted with strange birds, and on the fields roamed giant, semi-intelligent, tailless beavers that walked upright on 2 feet and carried their young in their arms. The bipedal animals were labeled semi-intelligent because, so scrutinizing was this advanced telescope, that it could see the towering beaver creatures entering and exiting their fastidiously constructed grass huts, which had curls and puffs of smoke from the gathered rooftops of the huts, signaling that the beavers had mastered the creation and management of fire. Herschel saw also odd giraffe-like animals with long furry tails, and a strange, unknown amphibious creature of a spherical form which rolled with great velocity across a pebbly beach. With each publication came greater, more astounding claims, and fame and fortune for the New York Sun and every other newspaper that had picked up the stupefying tale, which had now spread around the globe. So, for a little while, the story grew. In an installment from The Sun, Dr. Grant described in more detail the wild, unspoiled, rolling, and varied landscapes of the moon. Here there were beautiful oval-shaped mountains, extinct volcanoes, and high cliffs sparkling with inset sapphires. Oh, no, no. No, everyone, please. Don't wake Mrs. Evans. Don't wake her. She's obviously in a deep sleep. I know she looks upset. Just let her crawl out of the room. Shh. Irma, sweetheart, follow Mrs. Evans into the cordoned off area, okay? For her, her safety. Don't worry, everyone. We'll look after her for as long as it takes.
so don't anyone report her missing. And don't be jealous. We'd do the same for any of you. As I was saying, all of these descriptions of the surreal landscapes, natural riches, and precious stones just jutting out from the rock faces. Well, every reader of the veritably earth-shaking continuing lunar saga was entranced with the 1835 story. By now, they were told that Sir Herschel had cataloged as many as 38 species of never-before-seen trees, and double that number of plants, 9 varieties of mammals, and 5 kinds of animals referred to as ovipara, or animals born from eggs, such as frogs, fish, some reptiles, and birds. The world was experiencing moon madness. Talk of the moon creatures was on everyone's tongue. Artists were employed to fill in as much detail to their fanciful interpretations of Dr. Grant's fantastical tellings as quickly as they possibly could draw them. The crowning glory to the resounding story came in the much-anticipated 4th installment, published on August 8th of 1835. People everywhere clamored to get their hands on the first edition and read with wide eyes and bated breath that Herschel had discovered a race of humanoid beings on the moon. And not just any old kind of humanoid. These men could fly. Here's a direct quote from the Declaration.
"We could then perceive that they possessed wings of great expansion and were similar in structure to this of the bat, being a semi-transparent membrane expanded in curvilineal divisions by means of straight radii, united at the back by the dorsal integuments. But what astonished us very much was the circumstance of this membrane being continued from the shoulders to the legs, united all the way down, though gradually decreasing in width."
And if they could see this, I can only say, my, that must have been some telescope, especially for the early 1800s. My lovely guests, where we would use words like alien species, the writer, Grant, went so far as to give this civilization of human-like winged men an impressive species name. He christened them Vespertilio Homo, which, when translated from Latin, boils simply down to bat men. That's right, he told everyone on Earth that there was a race of airborne bat men flying around in the air of the moon. And people everywhere believed what they had read in the papers. Hoaxes, as you probably well know, are nothing new to anyone residing here on Earth. They have always been with us, and will most certainly always remain with us. Certain people have, throughout history, had a desire to just misdirect, fool or wind people up. Benjamin Franklin was known for this, and even our beloved Edgar Allan Poe gave it a go, curiously, just a few months earlier in 1835, with a very similar tale. Many believe Poe's story may have actually inspired, let's say, Mr. Grant's, because Poe's venture was a form of satire that boldly told of a fellow from Holland who returned home full of wild tales of his expedition on the moon. If you care to find it, not our copy, of course, if you care to find it, Poe's work is entitled Hans Fall, A Tale. Fall is spelled P-H-A-A-L-L. Poe was rather well known at this time, and his readers, being cleverly aware of his rogue style and being smart in general, well, they understood his story to be in jest almost immediately. Others, it is known, were totally taken in by Mr. Poe. In any case, it wasn't too long after the last installment of the Tall Moon Tale that the world began demanding answers and clarification about this bombastic claim. Soon, the publishers of the Sun newspaper were forced to come clean. This was after they went even further by publishing more detailed artists' renderings of all of the wondrous flora and fauna, and the skies aloft with batmen careening around up there. The Sun admitted the story was literally manufactured for the sole means of selling more newspapers, and that Dr. Andrew Grant wasn't real either. However, John Herschel, the astronomer, was. It probably goes without saying that had this type of deceptive yellow journalism happened today, the lawsuit would be monumental. But Herschel, the famed astronomer, took the fake story about him in stride, at least early on. It is said that as he aged, and people kept pestering him and asking him about his marvelous moon discoveries, that he became terse and snappy with his replies. It is odd to me, however, that the entire world was fine with it. The common attitude was, oh well, all in jest, all in good fun. No harm done. And everyone just got on with their lives. I think we can agree this would not happen this way today. I can tell you one thing this hoax did accomplish in a favorable way, though, my sweet guests. It lit the fire of imagination. It fueled the burning thoughts of creative people everywhere. Artists, children, scientists, and writers. It served as a kind of jumping-off point. The idea of entirely new ways for animals, plants, and people to manifest and exist on the surface of a totally unknown, unearth-like place, somewhere else in our solar system, or perhaps the galaxy, or even the universe, was so seductive and entrancing. It inspired people to become scientists and astronomers in hopes of learning just what kind of planet or moon may actually have other kinds of life. It inspired fantasy writings and essays, tons of artwork, and children's books, plays, and early fantasy films, like A Trip to the Moon by Georges Méliès. And perhaps, by way of a strangled root, our modern superhero, Batman. If you are a daydreamer, and I hope that you are, well, this earth-shattering hoax is something you might be thankful for. And those of you yearning to dream by night, and I hope that you are, well, I have a feeling that tonight, and just tonight, mind you, you're probably safe for a little while. Maybe. Good night, my dear guests. Good night.
Irma. You escorted the guests out nicely, right?
Yes. I only did 2 stinkers.
Good girl. Now, you may lift up this bloody sheet.
Granny!
Ah, Grandma's little muck bucket!
All right, you two. Let's let Granny get back to work. Riding Mrs. Evans.
Where should I leave her?
Let her wake up in the meat locker. And when she screams, I'll dash in and chastise her for being nosy.
The Midnight Library would like to thank everyone at Astonishing Legends. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We are here because of our beautiful patrons who donate a little each month. We humbly ask you to please consider joining our Patreon, because what you choose to support will continue. What you do not, won't. And yes, there are even free memberships. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. That's where all the real magic happens. Find our weird presence on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And even our weirder merch at redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary. Thank you.